This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On February 21, 2007, the Policy Board of the Metropolitan Planning Organization held their monthly meeting. In responses to matters from the public and under other business, the board held two significant discussions on the proposed rezoning in Albemarle County for the Biscuit Run development. In this recording by Charlottesville Tomorrow, Albemarle County Supervisor and MPO Chairman David Slutsky closes out the public comment and asks other board members for their feedback. City Councilor Kevin Lynch starts the discussion by asking about developer proffers related to Biscuit Run.
Other members of the public care to share their thoughts with us this evening? Nope. Thank you. With that, we'll move on. Does anyone on the board want to respond to any of the comments that we just heard?
I think it might be helpful to have some discussion on Biscuit Run. Maybe not at this point, but at the end of the meeting. I do think that the question about proffers, whether they should include transit, how the connections are going to be made, those are all crucial questions that I understand the Planning Commission is working on. At the last meeting, there was I raised a question, could we get the developer to proffer part of the connecting road going from Sunset to Fontaine? And I thought that the response from both the county supervisors, both of you, were fairly positive. So I guess the question is, what would need to happen? And I understand that the chart committee has also endorsed that idea. I think it would be useful just to get a sense of what would need to happen next. It's hard for you to ask for proffers.
You said the developer has to proffer. Is kind
we
of
we as a city could certainly ask. I don't know that there's any prohibition on the city asking for something. But I'd be interested in just what you all think the best way to go would be.
I guess my concern would be if the Granger property, if the Granger development is approved, I would be looking, as with respect to my vote on the board, for the developer to build that connection across the Granger property. And if the university amends its zoning at Fontaine to increase the square footage, I would be looking for them to build out the completion of that connection. So I think it's an important connection. I'd like to see some traffic numbers about, assuming that connection is in place, what it then does with the traffic that might come out of this run. And I think we need to see a model that shows that, Kevin, so we understand what it is, you know, what it is we're getting in terms of traffic relief for that improvement. My concern is that we not take proffers from one development and that end up alleviating proffers from another development. And that could easily happen. We could easily say to the developer of Biscuit Run that we want you to contribute X dollars to this connection. A connection which we would expect to be built with somebody else's property. So that's my concern there. So it's really two things. Let's take a look at what it does for traffic and how quickly. And I'm not so sure that Biscuit Run would come online if it's approved any quicker than the Granger property might if it ends up being approved.
Wouldn't you have that same situation, though, if you were to allow Biscuit Run to go forward and not build any new infrastructure, which the southern area of the county clearly needs? And then when the Granger property comes along, if they're going to have a facility that's going to go from Sunset to Fontaine, they essentially would be building, retrospectively, the transportation infrastructure that Biscuit Run needs.
Well, we don't have anybody standing in line ready to add lanes to Route 20, for example. There's no developer other than Biscuit Run that I know of that would make that improvement. And there are other improvements that might be made with Biscuit Run proffers that may not be picked up by another developer as a natural part of development. So I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I think we also want to make certain we're being smart about it and not alleviating one developer's proffers with another developer's contribution.
If I can just throw a thought in, you really, at the beginning of your comments, Kevin, kind of asked, how do you guys weigh in on this? I mean, mm-hmm. And my suggestion might be that the city, if out of deference to voiced city residents' concerns and appropriate city residents' concerns, if city council were to package its overall view in very clear terms, you know, here's what we're thinking, here's our priorities, here's the things we're most worried about in this, if you will, collaborative mm-hmm. dialogue, mm-hmm. and share those in some casual way, you know, maybe offering them as a letter to the Board of Supervisors for their consideration when the Board of Supervisors gets to consider these various proposals that are on their way towards us but not yet arrived. That way, one benefit we all get out of that is there's we know what the city sort of has as its consensus view, or at least its elected officials have as a consensus mm-hmm. view. That's helpful for us. You know, one counselor weighing in one view and another one another view, kind of it can potentially undermine the effectiveness of your right. your input. All of that said, as Dennis suggested, we have to weigh a plethora of variables, the most significant of which is arguably the Biscuit Run package of proffers, but they've not been offered yet. So, you know, there's still opportunities for folks like you to let it be known what you would like to see Albemarle County Board consider, and then we can take them into account. I think that's probably the most productive thing. I don't know if you agree, Dennis, that the city could do at this time, at least.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, John's picked up a quote from the paper. That quote was actually given before the city council meeting. It was called.
Okay.
It was before, not after the meeting, and I do think stand by the statement in that I think we need to try to avoid an us against them mentality
right.
and work together on our solutions. And I think one of the things we made certain of, and I strongly supported this, was that the traffic study that Biscuit Run engaged in would include the city and include all of the intersections the city felt like should be dealt with. And we've of course, engaged the city planning commission as a part of the process and look at the Biscuit Run. And I think just what David said is a good idea in the sense that at some point it would be helpful for us to have a unified letter or something that sets out what the city's concerns are, and if they have some specific recommendations for dealing with those concerns, let's get them on the table.
It'd be helpful and welcome.
Yeah, exactly. We want this. You know, the growth in the area is. We had about 1,500 to 2,000 people a year to this area, and we have to decide. You know, I'm not a fan of trying to attract more people to come to the area.
Right.
I mean, you guys spend a whole lot more on economic development than we do. We spend about $500,000 a year on economic development. We don't spend 10% of that. So when that growth comes, it can locate either in the city or the county, and the city is mostly built out. So when the development comes to the area, it generally ends up moving into the county. I'm not grateful that that's taking place, I'd say. But we need to the closer it is to the city, the less the traffic trips are, and the more densely it occurs, the more likely we are to have transit be able to serve it, things of that nature that we all kind of know and work on. So
maybe we should.
To me, it needs to be a collaborative process. We need to look at the fact that growth is coming to the area, despite the fact that I don't think any of us are great supporters of trying to bring more of it in. But how do we best accommodate it? How do we minimize the impact on our transportation networks? How do we best protect existing neighborhoods while at the same time not not burying their heads in the sand and pretending like it's not happening.
Kevin, have you or the city submitted a sort of some formal request to the council?
Well, not in writing.
That, because we certainly, the second time that I've heard this discussion.
Well, wait a minute, David's been trying
to. We just submitted a letter a couple of weeks ago to the County Planning Commission outlining our three requests in terms of profits on Biscuit Run, and one of which had to do with improving our the lighting,
technology.
Secondly, it had to do with improvements to Old Lynchburg Road, and third had to do with progress for the Fontaine Connector, which we see as an absolutely essential piece of this puzzle. And as I understand it, the letter that resulted from the County Planning Commission to the developer only included one of those three proposals, the one regarding
intelligent transportation.
Don't worry about it, because no one knows the relationship between that title and that program.
Right. And that the improvements to Old Lynchburg Road were not included, neither were the progress for Fontaine Connector. And I took that as something of a slap in the face, I have to say, to the city. And hopefully that's not, and I'm assuming that's not the final, but really maybe the, one of the early steps in this negotiating process that happens. But it's absolutely essential that I think all of us in this room and understand the importance of these connections, so that we don't end up overwhelming our residential neighborhoods with the traffic that is going to be generated. So I agree. I mean, it needs to be a collaborative solution. I don't want to end up having to shut down Old Lynchburg Road and make, you know, these kinds of threats. But we need to see some real commitments and on the part of the county and the County Planning Commission and the developer. And we want to be part of that discussion too, and make our own commitments and really address this proactively.
Dennis, did I hear you correctly? You said this other alternative, this other development that exists, the profits related to that may appear in front of the board even before the Biscuit Run package.
The proffers will not appear before. Yeah. Let me make that clear. But it certainly is unclear, if they both come forward, which one would be built out.
Sure.
So I think we need to keep that in mind. Well, I mean, it, part of it comes down, David, to money. And the city actually benefits from county growth. I mean, the payment under the revenue sharing agreement this year is going up by $3 million to $13 million. I guess one of the things I would ask is, and again, I don't like the rest myself. I mean, I wish it was slowing down. But a question I would put on the table is the city willing to take the increase in revenue sharing payment to put into regional transportation?
Or maybe that plus maybe the $500,000 you're spending on economic development, maybe invest some of that money in addressing the infrastructure that it results from the economic development that arguably occurs in the county instead of the city.
If we're going to look at these, we're in a situation where we have a lot of roads in the system that we've all agreed need to be built. We've got, Chart has a long list of projects. We've got six projects in our six-year road plan, but there are projects that the city feels like are very important that it sees get built, and I don't disagree with that. But one of the ways to do it might be to say that if you folks put up a certain amount of money, we'll match that money. We'll find something in our capital budget that we can apply for projects that we think are mutually really important to the area that we're not getting funded by VDOT right now. And I'd certainly be with you on that. And I'm certainly also with you on the fact that we need to jointly look at all the traffic numbers that result from growth wherever it occurs and try to find ways to alleviate the impacts on your neighborhoods, our neighborhoods, and the transportation network. You know.
If I can just make a thought or two. No, one thing that might be useful is if the city were to use the MPO as a vehicle through which to sort of, if you will, publicly air its priorities. Sending a letter to the Planning Commission is obviously an appropriate step, But interestingly enough, I wasn't aware of either the letter or the response to it.
And
I was going to say, I'd be interested in seeing both a copy of the letter and the response, because it would be helpful for me as a member of our board to be aware of that. But maybe since we have this MPO convened to address our collaborative transportation challenges, and there's clearly a desire on the part of both the city council and the county board to work collectively on this stuff, and we really aren't at odds. None of us have the money, and yeah, we're in a position where we're going to have to extract profits if we choose to approve this Goodrun or Granger, and we know that that will impact the city, but we're all for collaborating and committed to it, and the MPO is maybe an appropriate vehicle through which the city could articulate its particular requests as it relates to these issues, so that we can then take those comments back to our board and influence our own internal process sort of through that angle, rather than us just passively sitting back and waiting for the Planning Commission to sort things out in a vacuum, which sounds like maybe it's happening a little bit. So getting a consensus view from the City Council brought here for us to offer back might be a productive next step. And as far as Dennis's suggestion, let me echo that there will be a substantial increase in the revenue sharing increment that goes from the county to the city this year, and it will likely be several million dollars, depending upon the rate. Isn't it?
Well, it's for
It's independent.
They get doesn't depend on
that's
the
right. So you're going to get that no matter what our rate will be, and what you choose to do with it is entirely within your discretion. But if we recognize that part of the reason that $3 million is coming your way is because of the growth we've experienced, Maybe there would be an interest on your part in offering up some specific investments that the county would like, or the city would like to collaborate with the county on.
Yeah, the residential growth, actually, you make money on it. The residential growth that occurs in the county, you make money on it, and we lose money on it.
Right.
Because it doesn't pay for itself in terms of one child in the school system costs us $12,000, nine of which the county pays, three of which the state pays. And the a $300,000 house pays $2,200 in taxes, and that doesn't even factor in zoning, the cost of all our other departments, police, fire, rescue, zoning, parks and rec, etc. So we don't make money when that house moves into the county, but you actually do. And I know you're not looking at it that way, but at the end of the day, we need to find a way to try to fund some of these things that are mutually important to us.
Yeah, I think it might also be helpful, maybe not at this body, but to have some discussion with the city and county about making sure that we're doing what we can not to subsidize growth. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the amount of growth that's been happening either, and I've argued for years to pull out of TJP PED. I think, between the two of us, between city and county, we spend about $1 million on convention and tourism bureau, a lot of which their activities go to filling the hotel rooms, which is a good thing, but then a substantial amount is just promoting the area, which is, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we do that has knockoff effects of bringing people here, and we're not able to capture the full cost of that. And I'm all for having some discussion of how we can better manage what we do as two localities so that we don't end up subsidizing essentially the development community, because and water is another one. I'm not sure if Biscuit Run is going to be making any proffers on water, but we're going to have to build some significant water infrastructure to handle the growth that's occurring, mostly outside of the city, but some of it there.
Let me suggest the following, if you don't mind. I've kind of blown our schedule, and I just found out from talking with Judy that she actually has to leave at 10 to 5, which is kind of unfortunate that I didn't realize that. So what I'm going to propose we do is we've aired some thoughts here that are probably productive, and we'll obviously want to have some follow-up discussion about how most effectively the city and the county can relate to these common transportation issues. If I can, then let's switch and go into the place.
Later in the policy board meeting, under other business, Supervisor Dennis Rooker returned the focus of the board to Biscuit Run and the challenge he sees addressing public concerns about density and the priority for improved public transportation options.
Any other members of the public care to share some final thoughts with us today? If not, then we will go to us. Does anybody else have?
Well, one thing, there are a lot of things that are countervailing considerations when you look at transportation and land use planning. And I think one of the things we started with when we were looking at the Regional Transit Authority and the density maps, there was information provided that it's very difficult to make transit work without a density of about 7 per acre. And that on a national basis, that has been kind of a rule that seems to have played out. I'm certainly open for, additional information on that, but that was something Harrison brought to us early on. And when you have something like Biscuit Run, for example, they originally, one of the very things that the public is objecting to is density. And there's a countervailing, on the one hand, the public wants to, the same people that come out and argue in favor of transit also show up and argue against the density often that is necessary to perhaps make transit work. And I can understand the considerations and concerns on both sides of that argument, but sometimes the issues or the things that are important sometimes become in conflict. And I think the Biscuit Run developer reduced density from 5,000, reduced the number of units from 5,000 to 3,000, largely in response to a lot of public comment about the density. I'm not sure that if they ultimately build 3,000 or 2,500 or they don't get approved at all and they build 1,000 units there, which I think they can do as a matter of right, roughly that number. I'm not certain that necessarily is going to mean that less people move to the county. It would mean that less people locate in that location. I feel different about commercial. When they have big commercial developments, they often, I think, attract people to the community, and they attract traffic that just doesn't necessarily go hand in hand with people in this community. But so it's just something I think that needs to be thought about and considered. In the case of Biscuit Run, we could end up with 1,000 McMansions. We'd probably sell for $1 million a piece or so.
Right, out there 1,400.
Or 1,400 for, with density bonuses, possibly as high as 1,400. So let's say 1,000. We could end up with 1,000 McMansions out there, which from a financial standpoint might be better for the county because those $1 million units would probably more than pay their way. They wouldn't have to make a single proffer. They wouldn't have to put in any affordable housing. They wouldn't have to have any consideration for transit. All they would have to do would be to meet the VDOT requirements with respect to the road system that they put in there, the minimum requirements. So we have the same developer, not necessarily the same. Some of the same people in Crozet that decided to go ahead and develop the Foothills Crossings property as a matter of right rather than to rezone it. And I think some of that decision was probably on their part just an economic decision that given the mix of units that are presently on the market, it was probably a better deal for the developer to just build it out as a matter of right. But that decision results also in there not being proffered a school site there, there not being proffered the Eastern Connector that might be located there, that we plan to have built there. And so now, that component of the road will probably have to be built with public money if, in fact, it does get built. So those are just things that we need to keep in mind. There's a point at which you push a developer and he says, I'm just better off building this out as a matter of right. So the proffer, we have to walk that tightrope when we're dealing with a property owner in terms of what ultimately is better for the community. Is it A or is it B? And I think it would help as we as a group and the public as they weigh in on this keep that in mind.
Could I make an observation or two of that? The chart has come out and passed a motion saying that we would like not to see a rezoning until the transportation issues have been settled. The city has been very... Most of the citizens I know in the city like high-density development. We see it as being some very good things. But there's a transportation network. I don't think there would have been any problem, at least from my point of view, with the higher density out there. I realize that some of the neighbors would have a problem. If there had been a commitment to, this is the way the transportation problem will be solved. And we haven't heard that yet. And the solution really has to come from the county. The county has to say, there will be a transit system. If we can get money from the developer, well and good. If not, we'll have to pay for it. There will be a road here. There will be this done. And then I don't think we'd get the resistance that certainly I've been trying to generate, as you well know. And I think that's what we're looking for. And then density becomes okay if the infrastructure, if people know what the infrastructure is going to be.
If you want to go ahead, then
no, that's right. If you want to respond,
but I think that's what the process is all about. Is going through. That's why traffic modeling is done. Is to determine what the impacts will be at various densities on the transportation network, and hopefully to get the proffers from the developer that mitigate those impacts. So that's what the transportation study is about. That's what the proffer system is hopefully going to be about in this case. But the proffers are not totally transportation proffers.
No.
You've got things like a school site mm-hmm. being considered. You've got a public park of some size being considered. You have a substantial addition to the greenway system being considered.
Affordable housing.
Affordable housing is a big component of it. So we do have to look at an overall package at the end of the day and determine whether or not it's in the best interest of the community to accept that package or to say no, develop the property as a matter of right.
Yeah, I would say a little different. I think the board of, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but the board of supervisors, I think, has to take a lead. I think the urban ring concept is very smart. I think it's the way to save the rural areas. But you first have to say, this is where they're going to have the roads, fellas. I'm transportation, obviously oriented. This is where it has to be. And I really think the Board of Supervisors or the Planning Commission has to come forward and say, this is where they're going to go. Then you seek proffers to help accommodate that, and that you may not be able to get it all.
If I can sort of wrap some of these thoughts together, because I appreciate your
participation.
No, don't be apologizing. We invited this, and it's welcome. But just to frame the issue, what the county's done is it established its designated growth areas for that purpose of protecting the rural areas and concentrating density and development activity mm-hmm. closer into the urban core. But we also set out to master plan those growth areas. And the master planning process, as we can clearly see from Places 29, is quite complex. It's a time-consuming exercise. There are limited staff resources and economic resources available to that end. And so what the county's doing is a pretty decent job of trying to manage the urbanization of this fairly substantial designated growth area that, while it's only 5% of the county's acreage, it's something on the order of, 35 square miles. I mean, it's a large area. So we're in the process of trying to integrate the transportation aspects of planning with the land use planning exercise in these master planning efforts. And in the meantime, properties become available in the marketplace. Developers come forward and say, hey, I want to build Biscuit Run or I want to build whatever. And we have the choice of either saying no, you'll have to wait several years till we get done with the master planning and figure out how to fund the transit infrastructure, in which case they're very likely in many instances to say, fine, we'll put our 1,400 McMansions in and have a nice day. Or we can work with them in a collaborative dialogue like we are. So, I mean, all these are relevant points. I understand the public's frustration in general. I understand some of the concerns that city residents have reasonably voiced with respect to the county's approach to this. But as Dennis correctly pointed out, We don't absolutely have control of what happens at Biscuit Run. We only have the choice of accepting the proffers and approving of their application. But if they decide to go by right, that's it. It's their call. We don't have anything to say about it. So we're working as best we can. But getting feedback from the public, as we have, and getting input through the city council, from the city council through the MPO process, are really healthy and productive elements of this process of figuring out how to do it right. And David, did you have something you wanted to add?
I appreciate those comments. And short of a master plan for this part of the county, we do have the Area B study, which we all engaged in, entered into, in a good faith effort. And I think, speaking from the city's perspective, we just want to continue to see movement forward on implementing those recommendations.
We do too.
There's no question about that, David. I would like to see, as we mentioned at the beginning, when after Kevin kind of put all this on the table, that I would like to see some traffic models that show how the traffic moves. If you assume that development is built, how the traffic moves without the sunset connector and how it moves with the sunset connector and what the levels of service are, so we get some understanding of, and the same kind of thing with some of the other improvements with and without, so we get some idea of what the application of proffers to the specific improvements do to help our network. And I think that should be instructive as to what we then ask the developer to do. And I think that there's some of that taking place right now at the Planning Commission level. And we certainly want city staff and city planning commission to participate in that process.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good step to model what the effect of the sunset connector has. To respond to your thing about density, I think it's not so much the density people object to, it's the gross numbers. If you said we're just going to do 70 acres at 50 units an acre, I don't think anyone would. That's 3,500 units either way. No one's going to care. You know, to getting back to David's original point about putting transit first, I mean, it'd be interesting if you really had designed in that way. You know, you might arguably have gone to the developer and said, "Look, you got to
20%,
well, maybe not even said higher density, just said 20% of your trips have to be transit trips. You work out what that means. And then this grid, and if we did that, if we started with that as the anchor principle for even 29, we might get it might be true that we get a different looking grid than what we have now.
Yeah, one of my concerns in places 29, and that's Judy and Harrison aren't here, so you know, we're all at a disadvantage to have that dialogue play out, but I'd be interested to know how many land use decisions were made by the consultant or were proposed by the consultant based on the transit, or ignoring the transit corridors, looking at road corridors, where they may have said, well, we can't have more than X density here because there's a road bottleneck problem where the higher density that might have been available if transit was an integral part of the transportation modality, it might have informed the land use plans. I don't know that they didn't do that. I just haven't seen, I mean, I can't peel back the onion on it because it's not in front of us, but that may be an issue worth raising with the Place 29 folks.
I think if Harrison were here, he would respond that they tried to create centers that would support transit as a matter of land use planning.
Clearly that's true. You're right.
And I think that that's what you see in terms of the network. And hopefully that at the end when we loop around and get the transit overlay on the traffic numbers, et cetera, that it will show that the land use decisions or the land use recommendations have in fact been made in a way that will encourage transit.
Well, what I think the model has shown, if you correct me if I'm wrong, is that we did do that. I think the assumption of the land use was that densities and centers that would support walkability and multimodal transit system, transportation system. What's been modeled to date, as I understand it, shows that without the traffic modeling, we haven't made the condition worse and have made it somewhat better. Before transit is applied over top of it, that would add the layer of benefit. So we sort of validated if the whole transit process fails, the transit-oriented development that's proposed can be sustained by cars. I think that's the conclusion we reach right now. That's not the desire, but it's the worst case scenario.
David, that's a helpful
framing. And I think that's what
framing.
We showed. But I think the land use assumption that what we tried to achieve under the maps that you see, based on the public input of looking at those three alternatives, even the three alternatives were derived based on centers with higher densities moving out to edge conditions.
And I think that is reflected, and we kind of glossed over it, but in the transect map, that's what Judy was getting at, that if you look here, the main purpose is a little confusing, but the main purpose to get at here is that you have the higher density oriented on to your centers, but also to your main corridor here. So your bus rapid transit works because your higher density is along this corridor, and then steps out from there.
But in the master planning of that corridor, is it assumed that we're going to sacrifice a lane for the bus rapid transit to pass through? And I don't know to what degree we actually superimpose the transit system on the land use, because we may in certain places have to show a line for a BRT route that's not a lane on 29, and I don't see it. I don't know that it hasn't been thought through, but that's the concern that I'm trying to highlight here, because without that level of thought being given to the transit element, it ain't going to happen. That's my big concern, because in the near future, people are going to be bringing proposals to us, and they're going to be looking at these maps, and they're not going to be relating to a bus rapid transit spur that might need to exist at a certain intersection. That's my only...
Right, and I know that my words are a poor substitute for an actual map, but the versions of the transit map that I've seen are actually a BRT spine that goes up places 29, and then at your uptowns, and I believe over at the airport road, there's identified circulators.
Let me ask this. Would it be of interest to other members of the board that we ask staff to work with the Places 29 consultant so that at a future update, you know, maybe it's in our next month or sometime soon, that they actually just come back and show us where does transit sit here? Because the information is apparently there in some form. It's been reflected or will be reflected in modeling. Mm-hmm. Let's just find out where they are, because sure. It might be very valuable to us. If we're going forward with an RTA, we're really interested in that issue. It's not an unreasonable request. Is everybody else interested in hearing that?
Put it on the agenda for next month.
I was going to ask, they're going to be in town next week. Was there any kind of a scheduled workshop with the board?
Well, we have a lot of budget things going on.
I plan on going to one of the meetings.
Yeah, but I didn't know. Sometimes when they've come out for charrettes, they've had work sessions with the board.
They've been invited to the Planning Commission work session on Tuesday.
Okay.
So what do you think about the idea of putting it on the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah, can we see if there's a way to coordinate with their schedule there, or perhaps with a month lead time that they might be able to send a representative, and if not, the consultant, then perhaps Alamo County staff could, you know, coordinate with the consultant and give us still what we're looking for?
Mm-hmm. I'll also mention, too, that at the public workshop, transit would definitely be a critical component of both what is presented and what we're asking the public to respond to.
I'm sorry?
That transit will be discussed at the public workshops as part of the workbook and part of the presentation. I've seen the draft PowerPoint presentation.
Right, that's good. I assume that, and it sounded like that from what Judy and John have said. It'd be good to have them come back and just get us a little bit more awareness of the degree to which transit is reflected in the master planning exercise. And that is not an unreasonable thing for us to want to see. That'd have to be a lengthy and in-depth discourse, but I'd like to see it, and it sounds like others would as well. Does anybody else have any other matters that they want to bring up, Kevin?